pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friend, on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
I think I am going to change my name to that when my parents pass.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, I do. My last name being Batman-Bell.
Because,
of course, it'd be a hyphenate.
Yeah, have to hyphenate it.
Yeah.
And then Tiffany will have to change her last name to Batman/Bell.
No, she's not doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Liberated.
Yeah. She's strong. She's a strong, independent woman. She can keep whatever name she wants. Even
she
if
can
it
have
is
whatever she wants.
Her ex-husband's name.
Of course, she could just, you know, she could just go with Batman in general.
I think she should. I absolutely think she should. Or change her name to Serena Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I mean, why not? I mean, if you're going to change your name on all your fucking official forums, you might as well have some fun with it.
Might as well have a good name.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Hey, buddy.
How was your fun this week?
This week I did a resume overhaul. I changed the brakes on my Mazda. I worked my ass off. I came up with an idea that I'm going to probably self-publish in about a month and a half.
I love it.
I just have to sit down and rewrite a lot of shit.
Well, if the initial writing's done, editing takes less time than, I guess. I mean, for some, it takes longer to edit and rewrite than it takes to actually write it.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on how much restructuring you want to do on your
it's
book,
a
on your
it's
book.
A considerable amount of restructuring to make it fit a new format from something it wasn't to something I want it to be. But no, it's like I got content. I got a shitload of content, and you know, there's no reason why I can't be one of America's greatest essayists. You know, I can spit out a fucking essay in a heartbeat. It's when I sit down to write my structured shit, I get lost.
You can be the peer of Ta-Nehisi Coates, is what you're saying? I like that.
Jesus. I mean, like,
anybody's on Ta-Nehisi Coates level, but
no.
Yeah.
Marvel's not knocking on my door to make a DC movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the main essayist I know is Ta-Nehisi Coates, but I have read other essayists. Ta-Nehisi Coates comes to mind because he also wrote comic books. So.
Yeah. You know, you bring him up as an example of good at it.
Yeah.
I'm more of the kind of funny sometimes. That's the level I'm shooting for.
No, I think you're a fine essayist. All one has to do is read your, not a blog.
Yeah, my Substack.
Your Substack.
Oh my God, I have to quit Substack.
Yeah.
Did you read?
I read that too and I'm like,
I love Substack. It's so easy to use.
I know. I don't know if I want to quit or not. It's a hard one. It's like, I'm going to wait and see what Deconic goes with, because basically, so for those who don't know, and we might as well just, you know, expose this scandal out into the world.
Sure.
For those who don't know, basically an essayist, effectively, right? An essayist.
Sure.
Had put together not just a place to put his essays up, but he wanted to create a newspaper effectively using Substack. And he hired people to come write for him, and they were doing everything you're supposed to do in journalism. They were peer reviewing. they were they had actual sources that could be backed up, you know. That's what journalism is, folks.
Yeah.
Not just some fucker's opinion. It's that they actually have to have evidence to back it up. And so he was doing all this, and then all of a sudden he starts noticing all of these white supremacist and pro-Nazi blogs showing up on Substack. And he reaches out to Substack. He says, I think this is against your policy.
Yeah, the terms and conditions say that this cannot be a thing.
Yeah, you can't promote hate and violence. And they said, "Oh, well, they don't have anybody reading them. We're not going to go and try to take it down." So basically they wussed out. And he's like, "We will leave. I will take my whole thing and we'll go somewhere else. Because we're not going to tolerate this shit." And they did not do anything as far as he could tell.
They're like, "Here's five examples."
Yeah.
Five examples of you know, bad actors on your system. And so what
right.
Substack
he actually
did,
provided evidence, yes. Like
yeah,
a good
was
journalist.
Shut down those five and call the problem solved.
Right.
And they're like, wait, those are five examples of all of the problematic you have. What are
yeah,
you going to do
have
about
more
it?
Than... Like, well, we can't police all of them. And so he's bailing. Kelly Sue is taking, because they'd just come over there for milk-fed criminal masterminds. What, a year ago, I think.
Yeah, like fucking
over.
Wonkette is entirely Substack right now.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these guys are now looking for other platforms. I mean, he's already found another platform, the guy who broke the story.
Yeah, I played with it. I didn't much care for it yet.
Yeah. But he's already moved to another platform. Kelly Sue and Milkfed are looking for another platform. I don't know about Wonkette. But, I mean, I imagine they're going to see a lot of people bailing on them. And if some of their big money makers, like James Tinian, bail on them,
yeah,
that's it. Yeah, I mean, they'll either have to put up or shut up. So I'm kind of like, I'm waiting to see if they didn't consider this guy a big loss, but when their bigger players start bailing, if they start to do something, or if they pull a Musk and double down on the hate,
yeah,
then I'm out.
Because, I mean, really, Nazis are bad, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
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 The reason why I'm addicted to the Sniper Elite series.
Mm-hmm.
They just get to run around and shoot Nazis from a distance for shits and giggles.
It's all kinds of fun.
Oh, it's a great game. Great game.
So, yeah. I'm going to hold on. I barely use it as it is. If you're a subscriber to my Not a Blog on my Sifu's Notes on Substack, yeah, you know I probably put one out every 3 or 4 months. So I'm not a heavy user on it. I'm going to wait and see what happens, and then, yeah. And I haven't monetized it yet either. That's the other thing.
Well, I don't expect anybody to pay for what I write right now. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's all. I mean, go for it if you want, but no.
Yep.
Not now.
Not now.
Not
but
now.
Anyway. While Jeff's Substack is up, you should go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell him your Substack.
Oh, it's jmbell.substack.com.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, fuck. Should I just go back to fucking WordPress? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. This was so easy.
Yep.
It's very frustrating. It is. I mean, trying to keep all the boycotts in my head where they go. Not, you know, it's like, okay, I don't eat a Chick-fil-A. I remember that one. That one's ingrained. You know, Chick-fil-A is the devil. Papa John's, won't eat Papa John's because Papa John was the devil. Even though they mm-hmm. fired him, they're no different than they were when he was there. They're just not saying the quiet parts out loud.
Right.
But yeah, you get down into technology. It's like, okay, Twitter's pretty obvious. I don't think we've closed any of our accounts there, but I have the hiccups today.
Mm.
I haven't done anything about it.
No.
You know, Jason still uses the Left Show. For good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't.
I kept this show's Twitter account. I killed mine. Just so I wouldn't even be tempted to go look at it. And for this show, I had it set up where I'd get an auto post, but the thing stopped doing that. So I need to go in and reset it.
If it Musk did a lot of fucking around.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I tried to log in to the account because I was curious about something I just read. In fact, it has to do with the story we're about to do. But I was curious about something. I wanted to read it, and I tried to log into X, and it kept saying you can't have two-factor authentication because you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
And the problem is it wouldn't let me go into my account and turn off two-factor authentication. I tried like 10 times, and I was like, fuck you, Musk, and walked and just quit. And this was to log into the Hold 322, you know, World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast account.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're fucking kidding me. You're going to block me like this. And yeah, I'm like, fuck it. Not going to do it. So yeah, no, he's fucked around. So it may not work. That one may just sit and collect dust because I can't access, if I can't access it in any way because of what he's done. Then
it's not worth $8 to me to do it.
Nope.
Not at
it
all.
Is not. Nope. Not worth, all. Not worth any kind of money to do it. So,
hey, give us some money to put your shit on our sinking ship.
Yep.
No thanks.
Yeah, the new Quiet Part out loud, and I didn't look at the links for yesterday's Left Show yet, but the new Quiet Part out loud is conservatives, not Republicans, but conservatives saying equity, diversity, and inclusion is why these planes are crashing.
Yeah.
And doors are blowing off airlines and stuff.
Only and white Musk, people can do things.
And
yeah, fuck
Musk.
You.
Musk says, would you really trust a company that, you know, pushes an EDI agenda to be safe on an airplane? I'm like, yes, I would, Elon. Yes, I would. And you don't have to fucking worry about it. You travel by private jet everywhere you go, you rich fuck.
Yeah.
God.
Look, man, I mean, not for nothing, but when it comes to work, I do not trust white people. We are shiftless. We are untrustworthy. We are lazy. We cut corners. We forget to put bolts in the fucking door. You know, I mean, shit like that. It's when I get teenagers and younger kids coming into my store, it's the white kids I watch because they're the ones that are always shoplifting.
Yep.
You know, and people that just venerate white culture are lost. We're terrible. We're
and
just
folks,
the
I,
worst.
I literally watched him do that, by the way. I was at the comic shop on Friday, and I was leaving, and these two white boy young kids come in, maybe 10, 11 years old, maybe 12 years old.
Yeah.
Both white, you know, one was white. I mean, he was blonde haired, blue eyed.
Toehead.
And I'm walking out, and Jeff was just following me out, and I'm like, well, oh, white kids. Because he went over to stand in one spot and keep an eye on the little shits.
Yep.
Because he's watched more than one of them ripping into his stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. But I mean, it is what it is. And it's you've got people that just believe if you're not white, you're not right. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty much the other way. I've read history. You know, that's half of my advanced degree. And all I see is just a parade of white people butting into other people's business and doing things that they shouldn't do.
Yep.
You know, don't tell me the Crusades were justified, for Christ's sake, as it were. No pun intended. Totally intended. Anyway, we've got no Left Show. We should probably do some comic book shit.
We should move over to Lou and do some comic book news.
Some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
This is a sad days for people that watched porn in the 90s. Jesse Jane has passed away, 43 years old. According to a recent report from Deadline, reportedly found dead by police Thursday morning alongside her boyfriend at their residence in Oklahoma. Police officers found the couple while conducting a welfare check around 11 o'clock in the morning, and both people were found unresponsive due to what is suspected to be a drug overdose. Police officers on the scene identified the couple as Jane, real name Cindy Taylor, and her boyfriend Brett Hassenmuller. Substances from the scene have been sent to the lab for testing. Jane's career in the film industry began in 2002, lasted for 15 years before she officially retired. Man, it is all sorts of noisy at my place today. I apologize. Outside film work, she also appeared in a variety of uncredited TV and film appearances, including having been in Baywatch, Hawaiian Wedding, Starsky and Hutch, and Entourage. Aside from her core work, which I recall, I do remember seeing her in Entourage. She was pretty good, to be completely honest. So, there we go. Jessie Jane passed away, 43 years old. You know, she did some good work.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. Star Trek's Gary Graham has passed away at 73. Multiple Star Trek projects. He appeared as Tannis on Star Trek Voyager, Saval on Star Trek Enterprise, Ragnar on Star Trek Renegades. He was also known for his starring role on Fox's Alien Nation. He was good in that.
Saval is probably his most recognized role for Star Trek on Enterprise, because Saval was the ambassador who put T'Pol on the Enterprise. And then, so the first season, she was basically spying for him.
Yeah.
And then she rejected him because she got effectively raped by a mind meld, you know, an unsolicited mind meld.
Yep.
That altered her. And they did, basically, they did the whole topic is kind of like having AIDS, and how Saval and everyone turned their back on her. And so she turned around and joined Starfleet instead of staying with the Vulcan Science Ministry.
Yep.
And then by the fourth season, Saval was on their side and revealed he could also mind meld. So it was kind of one of those moments of going, wait a fucking minute. You were turning your back on her two seasons ago. He was great in his acting roles. Unfortunately, he started writing for Breitbart in 2016, or no, in 2012.
Yeah.
Stopped writing for it in 2016. Yeah. He was a bit of a problem, as we would say. Much like we shake our head at Adam Baldwin and his behavior online, or you know, some of these others. You know, it's like we love their work. And as a person, we're like, that's just unfortunate you went down this road.
Yeah. In his defense, he wasn't running around calling cops sugar tits, but...
No.
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 But, yeah. So, his ex-wife, Susan Lavelle, wrote on Facebook, "It is with deep and profound sadness to say that Gary Graham, my ex-husband, amazing actor and father of our beautiful only child, Haley, has passed away today. We are completely devastated, especially our daughter, Haley. His wife, Becky, was by his side." She remembers Graham's funny, sarcastic sense of humor, but also notes that he was kind, fought for what he believed in, and a devout Christian. More than anything, though, he was a loving father to their daughter. Good for him.
So his devout Christianity and his conservatism was a huge course correction. He had been one of the worst, you know, like Charlie Sheen bad in Bad Boys in Hollywood for a long time. And then he got a scare, I guess, and he course corrected.
Found Jesus.
Found Jesus, found a conservative voice after that, and found out he could write, as long as he, you know, and he could write about this stuff he quote unquote cared about. But he disappeared in 2014. Most of his online presence was gone by 2019, I'd say. So I'd say he kind of, you know, dropped off before he got canceled or something, or had a change. I'm going to say he had a change of heart. There you go.
Okay.
His heart grew again.
Yeah. Other things you may not have known he was on: Ally McBeal, Chips, The Commish, Diagnosis Murder, Dukes of Hazzard, Eight is Enough, Incredible Hulk, Jag, Nip Tuck, Remington Steele, Starsky and Hutch, TJ Hooker, and Walker, Texas Ranger. Busy guy.
He was everywhere. So, and he looked enough like two other actors that they could just put him in. They're like, well, we can't get this guy, so let's just slot him. Let's just get Graham and slot him in.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oliver Stone opened his big fat conspiracy theory laden yap and said something dumb and ignorant. Ignorant because he had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. But a 2023 interview with City AM recirculated and showed the JFK filmmaker antagonizing Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie. He basically said, I want to read the statement. Oh, here we go. Ryan Gosling is wasting his time if he's doing that shit for money. He should be doing more serious films. He shouldn't be part of the infantilization of Hollywood. Now it's all fantasy, including the war pictures, fantasy. He hadn't seen the movie. So
no, he hadn't.
This reached out and kind of bit him in the ass a little bit. Says that he made the comments, quote, before the film even came out. Yeah, we got that, buddy.
We understood that.
Yeah, he said, at the time I was busy promoting my nuclear documentary in Europe and had little to no knowledge of the project beyond its title. Right. I was able to see Barbie in a theater back in July and appreciated the film for its originality and its themes, Stone said in his apology. I found the filmmaker's approach certainly different than what I expected. I apologize for speaking ignorantly. Hey, Martin Scorsese, take a note. Oh, that's it. We've been sitting here for fucking 3 weeks. City of the Flower Moon or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something of the Flower Moon. The goddamn Scorsese picture on the Indian res.
Right.
And it's a topic that's close to my heart. It's something that I've worked in advocacy off and on for years, you know? And so part of me wants to see it because, look, even though he's an asshole, Scorsese is still a pretty good filmmaker.
Right.
But I'm so seriously pissed at him for yucking my yum when it comes to, look, I like what I like, and I like movies that make me feel like I've walked out of a spectacle. I really do. You know, I like the Marvel movies. I even like the shitty DC movies because I walk out of fucking Batman v Superman and I go, huh? Well, Batman looked good.
Yeah.
That new Batmobile is pretty badass.
that was my take on as I walked out of Batman v Superman. Wonder Woman was awesome. I needed more Wonder Woman in this movie.
Yep.
What did you think about the rest? I hated it. But Wonder Woman was awesome.
Yep.
Find something. No, and here's the thing that, you know, he was, you know, Stone saying, you know, it's over. All this fantasy, everything's fantasy. I'm like, dude, art is fantasy. And art and that fantasy can convey themes that your documentary is going to get ignored. You know, they're going to ignore it. And here's the thing about the Flower Moon movie. I've been like, I know what it's about, but every time I see Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese's names together, I'm like, I ain't got that kind of time. I'm not awake enough to watch this. You know, those are the kind of attitudes I have because I know how those movies go. And I'm like, I get that you want to tell a deep, meaningful, honest story. I do too. But at the same time, there are shortcuts you could take with fantasy that people go, you know, this is just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for the news.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
Tell me. If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Tell me. There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What you been watching on the TVs and moving pictures this week, Jeff?
Honestly, not a lot. Premier League soccer is going through sort of its weird January thing. The Emirates FA Cup is happening right now, but it's all spread out. So it's like I started watching it 2 weeks ago and then nothing, and then there's more stuff coming this week. So I'll finally get to watch Wrexham play again, which I'm really happy about. And then I watched the Newcastle game this morning. Way to go, Newcastle. Arsenal, I don't get till, I think, fucking Wednesday. So, you know, soccer's there, and I'm trying to watch it. And then a little forward motion on lessons in chemistry, which we had left behind for a little while due to triggers. And I got to admit, for the most part, I just listened to a couple of episodes. I didn't really watch much of them. Yeah, I was doing other stuff. I'm over at the computer. I'm working, so it's going on in the background. But, you know, still got the gist, got some funny lines, had some laughs, had some cries, you know, that sort of thing. Really, Lessons in Chemistry is just a brilliantly written show, a brilliantly acted show. If you've got Apple TV, watch it. If you don't, matey.
Yar. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do what you got to do. It is worth the time. It is absolutely worth the time.
It is worth taking your time. It reminded me of, it was a little bit like Mad Men meets the Queen's Gambit in kind of its overall look and feel.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's just so fucking brilliant all the way through.
Really, yeah. It's quite good. What about you? Yep. What have you been watching this week?
Not a lot as well. There hasn't been a lot to watch. We did finish off. Oh, I started watching The Floor, which is a game show with, what's his name from Community? No, not from Community, from Parks and Rec. But yeah, it's a fun little, it's like a trivia show. Basically, you got all these people who come in and they say, yes, I'm an expert in this kind of trivia. And so they get a square on the floor and somebody challenges them. Somebody gets selected by the randomizer. They can challenge people either on either side or in front or behind them, but not diagonally.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird. Anyway, they can challenge somebody, and then they're challenging them in that person's expertise, what they say is their expertise. And you go up there, and now you've got pressure because you got a timed round to try to identify these things they're throwing, these images or words or things they're throwing at you in this level of trivia. And it's, you know, it's basically those who perform well under pressure, that kind of mental pressure, are succeeding, whereas those who don't get eliminated pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. It's kind of a fun game. It's a really fun game. We've been enjoying that one. I really feel like he's carrying it. Why am I forgetting his name? Oh my hell.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe, that's it.
Really?
Lowe. I kept wanting to say Rob Reiner, and I'm like, it's not Rob Reiner. Why am I getting Rob Reiner in my head? I couldn't get the Reiner out of my brain. But yeah, Rob Lowe, and he's carrying the show. I mean, he's why you watch it. Kind of like the Gong Show, the remake of the Gong Show. We were watching it more for Mike Myers than for the acts that were coming on.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And,
same with the original.
Yeah.
Wasn't it for Chuck
Barris.
Chuck Barris.
Yeah. I can remember that, but I can't remember fucking Rob Lowe. Anyway, yeah, no, it's fun to watch, and Rob Lowe's just delightfully so charming, and he's so pretty.
He's very pretty.
And he, at one point, said literally, which made me laugh. It made me chuckle. Because when he got cast, they wanted to add him into Community, and after, I think it was the second season, he got added to Community, or not Community.
Parks and Rec.
They wanted to add him, and I was watching a thing about it. The showrunner went to meet with him, and he said he wrote down in his notes, he says literally a lot. And then so he made sure the character would say literally all the time.
That's fun.
And so, yeah, when he said literally, I chuckled because that was kind of his catchphrase. And then I've been watching, of course, Hell's Kitchen, because I like Gordon Ramsay yelling at people. And that had its big season finale this week, and the guy I wanted to win won. So I was happy. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
And not much. It's kind of like, you know, watching a soccer match. Sometimes you're like, yep, that's who I wanted to win. Awesome. And then we finished Reacher.
Oh, and shit. So did we. That was
very good.
That was a good ending. I like it. I like the book they're doing series 3 on. I mean, all sorts of news for that this week. Yep. No, Reacher was A little bittersweet ending. I was a little sad it was over.
Yeah.
You know, almost, I was angry that Monarch was over the way it ended its season.
I haven't finished that one yet.
Yeah. It's just like all of a sudden it's like, okay, that's it.
And we're done.
That's the season. And yeah, you're like, wait, there's still more to do.
We've had seasons like that on other shows as well. It's like,
oh yeah, it was more like I went back the next week to watch the next episode, and it was like that was the series finale or the season finale. Are you shitting me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't end right. But yeah, no, Reacher was good. I liked it.
Oh, so well done. Reacher is just absolutely Reacher. I can't get enough of Alan Richmond playing this part.
Yeah. Did you notice his girlfriend was Medusa from The Inhumans?
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. She's done Tron.
Mm-hmm.
She was in that Tron remake, which, by the way, didn't make the news roundup this week, but there's another Tron coming. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You want to plumb that? I don't get it. Tron was great in, you know, mm-hmm. when I was a kid in the early 80s. I have since rewatched it, and I'm like, wow, this is garbage.
Once Serenda Swan, there she is.
Yep.
Yeah. God damn, I didn't recognize her. Why?
She wasn't bald.
She wasn't bald. She hadn't had her head shaved, which was the dumbest thing they could have done. She also wasn't redheaded, which was the other thing they did. But, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember or not, but when we were off for a week, mm-hmm. and in that week, I watched the entire run of The Inhumans, all, what, 11, 12 episodes?
Oh, so she was fresh in your mind when
she
you
was
watched
fresh
that.
In my mind. And I think the reason I started watching it was because I somewhere in my subconscious, I knew they were the same actor. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and watched it, and wow, that was not a very good TV show. But
yeah,
I'll give you one thing. It was better than most of the seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
or most of the Berlanti DC shows, I would say.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Ugh. No comparison.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was in the end, it was a waste of Anson Mount. Thank God for Star Trek.
Yeah.
But no, it was such a, that's cool. I'll have to go back and watch it now. Maybe I will. I don't know. It was so hard to get through the first episode. The thing that was really holding me was Lockjaw. And I'm like, if I'm keeping with this just for the dog, we got problems.
Oh yeah. So, cause all he is there as a plot device to move people from one piece of Hawaii to another.
Exactly. That was it.
That was it. You know, so not a lot of Lockjaw content.
Yep.
But no, finished it, and it, like I said, it's like it is not the worst thing I have ever watched,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it is far from the best.
Oh, far, far.
Yep.
But yeah, the Reacher, oh my God. So yeah, Serenda Swan makes up for whatever in Reacher. Holy shit, she was amazing in that.
Yeah.
And I mean, just all of them, you know, I kept waiting for one of them to be a turncoat or something, and they weren't, and it was just so good all the way through.
It's a good book.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got to read the book. I'm behind on my Reachers. I've read the first two, and we'll talk about this in a story coming up, but I was a little nervous about what the next movie was going to be based on something someone said.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want it to be the second book. I really don't want the second book put on film. We'll talk about that here and when the story comes up.
Yeah.
In fact, we've talked about what we watched, so let's dive into some moving picture news.
Moving picture news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Jonathan Frakes may not be directing any new Star Trek anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
The Star Trek First Contact director will be at the helm of Deathlands, a 10-part series adapted from the novel by James Axler and Jack Adrian. Deadline reported that the William Riker actor will direct the entire series, and that Mark A. Altman will serve as showrunner. Altman, Garzik, and Vital will serve as executive producers. Series comes from Next Cipher Productions. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm usually not into these kind of shows. And you had me hooked, not just because I'm a Trekkie, but Frakes is a really good director.
Yep.
He's a really good director. Yeah.
Deathlands is set to the backdrop of a reimagined world set 100 years after nuclear strikes between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. features survivors emerging in a post-apocalyptic society that is full of mutated beings. Oh, so basically they're going to do this to counter Amazon's fallout.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. The main character, Ryan Cawthor, is thrown into the mix and travels the Deathlands via teleportation technology. A dog named Lockjaw. Jonathan Frakes had this to say about the story and why he felt compelled to do it as a director. Quote, one of the things I find so compelling about Deathlands is that it's a series about hope and the chance to build a better world. I'm excited about the opportunity to bring this show, combine feature-level action and compelling drama to the world. Basically, this is a show about the years in between World War III and Starfleet. That is my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could throw it in there for just for the fun of it.
Then to me, it's an off-canon Trek show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't care. I like it. I love Frakes. He's such a good director.
Yep.
And I'll probably watch it. Knowing that he's directed every episode, I'll watch it.
Yeah, because he directs good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this, therefore, has the potential to be good. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
In a very weird story, Vince McMahon has resigned from his role as executive chairman of TKO, the parent company of WWE, following disturbing allegations of sexual assault, trafficking, and physical abuse. The allegations came to light in a lawsuit filed by former WWE staffer Janelle Grant, who worked at the headquarters of the wrestling behemoth that McMahon founded. McMahon has denied the allegations and said he's prepared to defend himself in court, but in a statement Friday, McMahon said that he had resigned. I don't want to read any more of this. You know, this is the second time. This is the second time he's resigned.
Well, and yeah.
Yep.
Honestly, he should have retired a long time ago. But not that I give two shits about the WWE. I mean, that's more of Ultimate Bob's thing, but I've just never cared for it. But yeah, I've never cared for him as a human being.
Nope. First time he quit was because of allegations of sexual misconduct.
Right.
You know? So... good riddance. Go away. Go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 years of no updates, James Gunn revealed that Ta-Nehisi Coates' Superman movie is still in development. Ta-Nehisi Coates' J.J. Abrams' Superman movie is apparently still in the works. Yes! Gunn replied matter-of-factly to a fan asking whether the film was still in development. The film was announced back in 2021 with Abrams set to produce... well before Gunn and Safran took over as heads of DC Studios. No plot details have been revealed. It's been reported that the movie will feature the first black Superman. I am excited that this is still going forward because Ta-Nehisi Coates is one talented son of a bitch. I mean, he's so fucking good. His work on Captain America is some of the best Captain America I've ever read. His work on Black Panther is some of the best comic books I've ever read. I mean, the guy is just talent on feet. And I like the fact that even though he is, you know, I believe a Pulitzer Prize winning author.
Yes, he is.
When people are like, why are you doing writing comic books? He's like, it's Marvel Comics. They're like, you want to write Captain America? Of course I'm going to write Captain America.
I mean, the first one they approached him for was Black Panther. He's like, hell yeah, yep. I'm there.
Yeah, that dude's good.
He's very talented. And I'm very interested in this, introducing the black Superman. I would like to just see it be the thing, you know. Let's just have it be the thing. But at the same time, they could also multiverse it because we have Val Zod, you know, already established as a character. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. I just want a good Superman story. That's really what I want.
Yep. Yep. I don't care about all the things that all the incels are upset about. I just want a fun movie. And I know that Ta-Nehisi Coates will write a good movie. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Prime Video has revealed that season 3 of Reacher will be based on the book Persuader, the 7th book in the Jack Reacher series. I've read the first 17. There's a few more after that I still need to read. But I read them all in a row and kind of burned out on it a little bit. But I'll come back to it. The streamer also confirmed that Maria Sten, who was on Swamp Thing, will be returning for season three, reprising the role of Frances Neagley alongside Alan Richardson. Richson.
Keeping Deagley in these, whether we see her just for a minute, like we did in The Die Trying, the first season, or, you know, in a full-on thing like we did with Bad Luck and Trouble,
yeah,
season two, I think it's good to have that. It's good to have that connection. It's like having, you know, in the Spencer, I've been watching Spencer again on Tubi, and you always have, the cops in it,
yep,
you know, every episode, and Hawk every episode. And I was like, I like this. And even the author for Spencer started just putting them in every book. You know, it was rare you had a book without Hawk.
Yeah.
You know, and Hawk not just showing up and, you know, doing something, but actually helping Spencer in a case. And you'd quite often see the two homicide detectives. So yeah, it was a you know, this is a good idea. I was concerned because Richson said it's one of my favorite books. His favorite book is Die Trying, the second book in the Reacher series.
Yeah,
I've read that one. I love the idea of it. But there is a scene that had me white knuckled, holding my iPad, trying to get through reading this scene, because Reacher has to go into this cave that gets smaller and narrower until his back and chest are compressed.
Yep.
As he's trying to inch his way through it. And I was just like, I was having a panic attack, full on fucking panic attack reading this book. Well done, Lee Child. Fuck you. Fuck you for that scene. And he doesn't do it once in the book, he does it twice. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to read Die. I don't want to see Die Trying put on screen, because I'm gonna have to watch him do this scene, because I know they'll put that in there. Otherwise it's such a great fucking story that they should do it, especially with the Great American Redoubt being formed up in Idaho.
Yep.
That's what Die Trying is basically about.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, no, it's about militia wackadoodles.
Yep.
Well, I mean, let's face it, it's about weird white people.
And where they have to film everything up in Vancouver, it fits to do that one.
Yep.
Because you're up in the winter. In fact, Bad Luck and Trouble, I haven't read it, but I read that it takes place in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But because they film it in Vancouver, and usually over the winter, they had to move the setting from Los Angeles to New York, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was such a, yeah. And he's already filming this new one. They're already shooting Persuader. So, and you know, I got a big trip coming up in May, and I'll be through all the Spencer novels by then. So I'll probably be reading Persuader on the plane.
Yep. So we've been talking over the past few weeks about the weird Peacock merger that'll probably kill a bunch of Star Trek properties.
Yes.
And then we get this article, which just fills me with doom and gloom. Peacock lost $825 million in the final 3 months of 2023 while adding 3 million subscribers.
That was Peacock.
Yeah.
And the best shows they've got, well, the best Peacock show is, what's the name of it?
I don't know. It's where I watch Premier League soccer.
But it's with Natasha Lyonne.
Oh, Poker Face.
Poker Face, yeah.
Yeah, great fucking show.
And that's a Peacock original. That's only on Peacock. It's not shown on, what is Peacock, NBC?
Yeah, Peacock's NBC, Paramount Plus is CBS, ABC is called, confusingly, ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's these fucking streamers, man. I don't know, where are they losing this money? They're certainly getting mine.
I think they haven't figured out that they could run streaming and just carry their sponsors for the series, the sponsors that will advertise on their networks over to streaming. And I don't know why you can't do that. It's like I see the same five commercials on these streaming services every week, you know, every time I watch a show. And it's not until I switch over to something on a network television, network broadcast, that I'm like, oh, look, other commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm like, throwing that out on CBS this last week and a half, 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. I've been watching After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. I still, in my heart of hearts, prefer the Chris Hardwick version from Comedy Central. But as she gets more and more comfortable on the prompter, I'm really enjoying the show again. It's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Midnight on CBS, after Colbert, you can watch it on the streamer. No commercials, which again, you know,
there you go.
It's what it comes down to. It's why you're not making any money. You know? Yeah.
If you're going to, you know, put it up there with commercials. I'm watching Tubi and Pluto reruns on Tubi and Pluto. They run commercials, the same fucking five commercials every show. I don't care that I've got a commercial. It gives me a chance to get up and pee.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. But, I mean, that is what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's nuts.
Same with Hulu. Like, all of the Fox shows get streamed on Hulu.
Yep.
Still. So they still have that deal. And so, yeah, I just get up and... I get a commercial. I didn't pay for the non-commercial version. Yeah. So I just get a pee during commercial. There you go. Know, I can get up and get a drink, whatever. Yeah.
There's another Jurassic Park movie on the way, courtesy of the original Jurassic Park screenwriter, David Kopp. According to People in the Hollywood Reporter, Kopp, who is also who wrote the original sequel, The Lost World Jurassic Park, will come up with a new storyline for the fabled franchise, which has grossed over $1 billion worldwide. That's six movies.
Mm.
Didn't Iron Man do that with one movie?
Yes.
Steven Spielberg will board the project as executive producer, along with Patrick Crowley and Frank Marshall. Jesus Christ. No details about casting or plot. Project is coming along so nicely that the studio, quote, is whispering about a possible 2025 release date for another Jurassic Park. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I liked the Jurassic World movies. I did, but I like them for what they are, and that's fucking nonsense. Just silly shit with actors I like doing things. And that last one where they brought the cast of the original back for the sixth movie, that was great. I fucking love that. That cracked me up. You know, and Bryce Dallas Howard I'll never sneeze at. You know?
Never. Never.
No. So, no. Am I interested in this? Not at all. Will I watch it when it comes out? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Same reason I went and saw fucking Aquaman. You know? I am what I am, sir, and that is a target demographic.
Yeah, we're kind of leaning towards seeing Aquaman. I kind of want it to show up on a streaming network. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No more filming is needed on Ironheart, making it another series Marvel Studio currently has in the can. While it has yet to be seen whether or not the cast and crew of the Dominic Thorne starring series will reunite for another project, Thorne insists his filming on the show is concluded. Quote, filming is concluded indeed. I mean, I could say strap in, get ready. It'll be a ride, much like they all are. It's an epic journey and one that I'm very excited to share. Well, I'm very excited to watch it. I like Ironheart. I like the idea of it. I like the character. You know, I liked the armor that they put together in Wakanda Forever. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see this actress again. I liked her a lot. So Thorne is set to return for the role of Riri Williams, joining Anthony Ramos, the Hood, Sacha Baron Cohen's Mysterious Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody thinks he's going to be Mephisto.
Everybody wants Mephisto in these. They want Mephisto to show up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then they always pull a fast one and it's somebody else.
Yep.
You know? I'm hoping they better not announce it in any way, shape, or form. I'm hoping for a Tony Stark hologram played by Robert Downey Jr. That's what
cool.
I'm hoping for. But
yep.
Maybe I don't get it this particular. Maybe I don't get it till the end of the series. But you know, I'd still want to see one. Yeah.
Yep. Thorne had a nice quote saying, "I'm very, very, very grateful to this whole journey that Ironheart gave me, because that's the only reason why I feel now mm-hmm. on the other side of my first step in the MCU. I'm not as fearful about anything in my career the way I was before." Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, we have the news.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
Tell me. So, what you been reading this week? We got to start with comic book news, don't we?
We can start with some comic book news. I think that's a good idea.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Wonder Woman has just made one of the most beloved parts of the classic Linda Carter TV series an official part of DC canon. And we're, of course, referring to the Linda Carter iconic twirl that transformed her from Diana Prince into Wonder Woman. Writer
yes.
Tom King's new Wonder Woman comic series has been a piece-by-piece deep dive into all the lore and characterization of Wonder Woman from over 80 years of storytelling. A preview for the upcoming Wonder Woman number 6 reveals the sequence of panels that show Diana doing the Wonder Woman twirl to suit mm-hmm. up for action. Okay. Do I care? No, I do not. I think it's adorable.
I think it's awesome. It was... That's the funny thing about it being in canon, because it was canonized prior to New 52 in a run that George, I can't remember his last name, Jimenez. Yeah, it was George Jimenez did. And he did the twirl and had actually showed the diving costume, the Wonder Woman, the Linda Carter Wonder Woman diving costume, the blue diving costume. So, yeah, it was kind of cute. But yeah, no, the last issue of Wonder Woman number 5 was so good. It was basically she's going to war, and she's telling her protégés, the three Wonder Girls, to back down and not help her. And they said, "Nope, you have to defeat us in order to have that happen." She goes, "Fine, that's the Amazon way." So she defeats each one, and it was just so cool to see each Wonder Girl, you know, dealt with in a way, you know, have her talk to each Wonder Girl and acknowledge each Wonder Girl is indeed one of her proteges. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Marvel's new Thor is an absolute Chad. Anyway, the Marvel Age of Comics is over. The Roxxon Age of Comics has begun. Mm-hmm. Al Ewing and Martin Kakolo's Immortal Thor number 4 revealed that Roxxon Energy Corporation CVO David Agger, a.k.a. the Thor villain Minotaur,
yes.
bought the Marvel Comics Company of Earth 616 and the rights to the Mighty Thor comic book. So it's meta as fuck.
Yep.
Yep. So basically the Roxxon comic version of Thor is a corporate shill.
Yes.
You know, an international conglomerate bag boy.
Mm-hmm.
So
named Chad Hammer.
Yep.
Chad Hammer, folks.
Chad Hammer.
I love it.
Roxxon's Thor will debut in the pages of Roxxon Presents Thor number 1, a one-shot from Ewing and Greg Land. According to the official synopsis, the Roxxon Comics Thor is a muscle-bound buffoon and an AI spokes guru named Chad Hammer. That's pretty funny.
I'm there for that one. That one's coming out in April, and I am there for it.
Yep.
I'm not even reading Immortal Thor, and it's like, no, I will pick up at least that one.
Yep.
Just to see.
Immortal Thor has been pretty good, to be completely honest. Yep. I like the way that Ewing's writing it. You know, is it Jason Aaron? No, but it's good. You know, it's not everybody strikes genius with every fucking word they write.
Right.
You know, this one is quality. It's good. It's fun. I enjoy it. You know, yes. When I read Jason Aaron's, did it change my fucking life? Yeah, it did. sometimes a story will hit you that way. But I'll tell you what, every time I have sold a number one of Jason Aaron's Thor compendium, I always sell a number two. You know?
Yep.
So, Rob Liefeld has decided to crowd fund his new project, Last Blood.
Boy, am I glad I don't have a book crowdfunding right now.
Yep. The Deadpool creator released a new creator-owned comic at Whatnot. It sold out in minutes. I don't give a shit. Do you give a shit? It's my field. I do not care.
It is funny though. You'll understand why this is funny with an upcoming story. The title of this book is Last Blood.
Yep.
Last Blood.
Last
Rob
Blood.
Rob Liefeld's Last Blood.
Last Blood. The Hobbit is about to be brought to life as a graphic novel.
Oh, okay.
What?
I've seen The Hobbit brought to life animated. I've seen it brought to life on the big screen. Now I get a graphic novel. Okay.
It looks gorgeous.
It does. It looks absolutely beautiful.
It really does. The Hobbit is getting a graphic novel release that features art by David Wenzel, paired with a story that has been carefully abridged from Tolkien's classic novels. The 144-page paperback book will collect the three-issue series originally published by Eclipse Comics, which has been updated with new artwork.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there's a picture of what it looks like, and it's pretty. You know? It looks like an illuminated, you know, Bible is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it does. And the Eclipse book came out years ago.
Yeah.
And, so it's good to have this brought in as a graphic novel now and get it updated too. So you have even more art and more beautiful stuff.
Yep. So that's a happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles co-creator Kevin Eastman, for fuck's sake, is launching a new series at Image Comics called Drawing Blood.
So now we've got Last Blood and Drawing Blood.
Oh, no. You want a little piece of knowledge?
Yes, please.
Yeah, there's a new Marvel series coming out called Blood Hunt.
Yes.
Yep.
It's all about the blood. It's all in the blood.
It is in the blood. Anyway, Kevin Eastman has his new comic book series, Drawing Blood, to launch via Image Comics in April. Eastman, who has remained involved with the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics, even as they approach the high-profile relaunch of Jason fucking Aaron writing the goddamn Turtles. This will be the first time I've ever had Turtles books other than Last Ronin in my hold for Last Ronin. That's it. Those are the Turtle books I have liked. Otherwise, you know, Turtles never struck with me. But I am at the point now with Eastman. I'm thinking about going back and reading some of the early stuff that for some reason didn't hit me when I was in my early 20s, but I think might now. It's a far more serious series than we give credit for. I was tainted by the cartoons, which are not serious, whereas the book is apparently far more serious.
I still remember reading one bit where they were each kind of off. The four turtles had separated, and they're all kind of having little conversations, you know, narrative conversations in their head, and one of them was Michelangelo, who in the animated series was always, "Cowabunga, get me pizza, dude," you know? And in this one, he was talking about how the human skull can withstand only 20 pounds of pressure. The nunchuck, and then you see him like beating everybody up with his nunchucks, and he said, and the caption is, the nunchako can deliver 60. And I was like, oh god, this is so good. And it was basically, yeah, these guys were ninjas and not anything that was meant to be
cute.
Yeah,
because you go back and you look at that art, they're never adorable until they hit cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, that's coming. And with that, that is it for the comic book news.
Well, let's talk about what we've been reading this week. What you been reading?
Well, okay. So I read Ghost Machine. I don't understand it because I don't know any but like one of the characters.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me get the list for you.
I don't think Junkyard Joe was in that one, was he, or was he?
I don't think so.
The robot.
No.
I don't think he was. No, yeah, it was mostly focused.
Yeah, it's Geiger, who I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Redcoat, who I don't know.
Right.
Rook, who I don't know. My favorite of them, the Rocketfellers. Yeah. I don't know them. And just a whole bunch of other people in there. And I was basically like, I need to go back and read a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is just a lot of stuff.
Well, it's just kind of Geoff Johns' little world he created based around the idea of soldiers from different kinds of wars.
Yeah.
And Junkyard Joe had a lot of heart, and that's why I liked it. But I haven't read any of the other ones. But I get what he's trying to do, and I'm like, oh, okay, not interested, but okay. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then... Thrawn Alliances. Thrawn's got a lot of backstory I've never read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a blue guy that works with a bunch of white racists.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much what I know about Thrawn. So this one was like, huh, there's shit I need to know here that I don't know. You know, and so I walked away from that one being unprepared, especially because Marvel has decided that they're not going to print most of their back catalog like the Thrawn comics.
Right.
So what about you? What have you been reading?
So we finished off Dracula this week with Dracula number 4 by James Tynion IV and Martin Simmons. And I got to tell you, this book was incredible. The writing was great because that's Tynion. But the fucking artwork, I mean, just that they took this from, this is all watercolor that they did, but there's this one shot of Lucy or Mina.
Oh.
And the way they did the lacing on her dress, that is a hell of a technique to get done. And I was just so blown away by this. I sat and stared at just that image. To just take in all of the imagery and everything and everything through it. I just was just, oh, fucking amazing. It now that they've finished the fourth issue, this is the end of Tynion's thing. It'll be out in trade soon. So for you trade waiters, get it as soon as you can. It's so well, it's so well illustrated. Thing is, I know how some of these trades are put together where, you know, they don't do guttering correctly. So you might have been better off getting the comic book, so you don't lose some of the artwork, because some of it's two page spreads that are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then Star Trek Defiant Annual number 1, or 2024, I guess. Star Trek Defiant Annual 2024, written by Christopher Cantwell, who gave me served up the best. You talk about your Jason Aaron Thor. He served up the best Iron Man I'd read in ever.
Yeah, you were really fond of it.
And this one with him writing about Sela, sub-commander Sela of the Romulans, who was the daughter of a time-displaced Tasha Yar, was It was everything I wanted it to be, and then it was even better than I thought it was going to be. And the way it works out, I was just blown away by it. And it sets up Sela to be a much more interesting character going forward in the book of Star Trek Defiant than she has been up until this point. But you see her ruthlessness. You see everything that you expect to see from this character as she was depicted on Next Generation by Denise Crosby. And the fact that, you know, she meets her mother as her younger self. It was just, yeah. It's just so well done. So well done.
Yeah. That sounds good.
I enjoyed it a lot. If you're a fan of, you know, the Next Gen and stuff, this is a good one to pick up. I don't think it really, I mean, they do reference things like the Day of Blood and stuff, but I think you could get through it without a whole lot of having to have read Defiant up until this point or Star Trek up until this point. In the comics, you could read this and enjoy it for what it is, which is a goddamn good Sela story. Yeah.
Cool. That sounds great.
Yeah. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow is Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So what are you looking forward to this week, Jeff?
That dog shutting the fuck up. Oh,
that
my
would be
God.
Awesome.
What am I looking forward to this week? Picks of the week. Oh, so I'm throwing this out as a pick of the week, not because it's great and I want you to buy it, even though I do want you to buy it. It's because, here we go again, they're putting out a facsimile reprint of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 252. First full Amazing Spider-Man with the black costume.
Yep.
Right? If you're going on eBay, just don't. Okay? Because people are going to fucking slap this thing and they're going to try and sell it for a shitload of money. And dumb people are going to buy it, even though it's got a goddamn, you know, fucking barcode on the cover where it didn't before. Mm-hmm. There you people go. Don't be dumb. Don't fall for it. You know, you want a copy? Cool. Come pick one up. But don't go on eBay and try and sell it for several hundred dollars. That makes you a dick. And don't try and buy one for several hundred dollars unless you do it at my comic book shop, Dr. Volts. 2043 East, 3300 South Salt Lake City. I will sell
a
facsimile reprint for as much money as you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you need to spend $600 on one, I got plenty coming in. What do you think? We all good?
I think if you want it, I'm trying to find it here in my gems. If you want it, come get it from me too. I have one. The original, the one that was originally done. I don't think it's in that great of shape, so I won't sell it for very much. But if you really want it, you can buy it from me.
There you go. There you go. So otherwise, Wolverine number 42, which is part two of the Sabretooth War.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pick this up. They're calling it the bloodiest Wolverine story ever, and you know what? I'm there for that. I'll read it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I picked up a copy of Wolverine 41. I haven't had time to read it because I'm a busy fella. You know, way, way busy trying to make
it was,
my ends not meet.
It was very bloody. Yeah, very, very bloody.
Yep, and apparently it's just going to escalate from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for my mainstreams. What do you got?
Mainstream picks for me this week. From Marvel, we finally get Marvel Voices Legends number one for 2024. They solicited the 2023 one last week. I think they did. Yeah, I think that was the one they solicited last week. So this week, it'll be you're going to get some great stories with Captain America, you know, Sam Wilson. You're going to get some Misty Knight, which is she's approaching her 50th year of publication, Misty Knight. You get something with Elijah Bradley, who we haven't seen for quite a while. And this just, I mean, it just looks awesome. And I look forward to it. And then from DC Comics, DC Power 2024 is the fucking title. Take note, Marvel. Just stop. Just, I don't mind that you want to say this is Marvel Voices Legends. Give the year so we know what the fuck we're buying. But anyway, this is DC Power 2024. I'm excited for this one because it's actually got a Far Sector story by N.K. Jameson and Jamal Campbell, where Joe Mullen's going to meet Jon Stewart. So, and kind of a little epilogue to her original story.
Yeah.
And you get some stuff with Thunder and Lightning. So that's going to be fun too. And Val Zod, who we talked about at the top of the show. Val Zod.
Yeah.
So those are the ones I'm looking forward to on the mainstream. Independent-wise, from Image Comics, Moon Man number one. This is written by Kid Cudi, along with Kyle Higgins, because, you know, ain't going to let you just write it by yourself, kid. But yeah, this is Kid Cudi, and he's penned this thing about a... astronaut who's he'd come back from a failed moon mission, and he's missing minutes that the camera didn't capture. He just wants to settle down, but those missing minutes are a problem, and they're going to upend his life. So it just sounds really fun, and I like a good astronaut story. And I mean, it could suck because it's a rock star writing it, but at the same time, I've read some stuff by other celebrities that have been really good, so I'm not gonna turn my nose up at it.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
Some good, some bad. They hit weird. The Wesley Snipes one, I can't remember the name of suddenly. Awful, just awful.
Yep.
You know, but then Keanu Reeves with Matt Kent did a really good job. So I mean, it just, you know, it's luck of the draw. You pick the first one and see how it goes.
But, you know, you throw Kyle Higgins into the mix to help write it, and hopefully it comes out a little stronger. Comes out like Berserker did.
Yeah.
A lot stronger. And then from Oni Press, which is one of the weird one for me to say, because I usually don't buy anything from Oni Press, Jill and the Killers number one will be coming out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool little idea of a story, because this girl... her mother has disappeared, and the police haven't solved it. She's just wanting things to go back to normal, but all of her friends have gotten into this box. You know how you get boxes in the mail? You subscribe and you get a box every month in the mail for something. We were doing that with, what was that nerd thing we were doing it with?
Loot Crate.
Loot Crate. And these guys, in this case, it's these girls who subscribe to a true crime thing. And they get a box with information on an unsolved case. Thing is she gets involved with it. Jill gets involved with it, and she gets her box. And it's like somebody she knows is the target. And she's like, I got to solve this mystery before more people die. So, yeah, it just looks like a lot of fun. Olivio Quatero Briggs is writing it with Robert Ingranata illustrating it. And I'm very interested in this. How about you, sir? What are your indie picks?
One of them is the same as yours. Mm-hmm. That's Jill and the Killers. Mm-hmm. That one looked really good, so I picked it as well. Double vote for that one.
Double vote.
And then Image has Duke number two coming out. And I like Duke number one quite a bit, so I'm definitely going to... I think that Joshua Williamson was robbed... But he was robbed by Chip Zdarsky, so I don't mind. Because Josh Williamson was writing Batman in between before Zdarsky took over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he only had a very short amount of time on the Batman thing, and his stuff was good. You know, wasn't Zdarsky good, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so definitely looking forward to Duke number two.
All right. Well, let's jump into our TARDIS. And for the last time, we'll go to the month of March and give our picks of the future. Jeff, what are you looking forward to? Final one for March.
Final one for March, Napalm Lullaby, number one from Image Comics.
There you go.
It's Rick Remender and Bengal. Dystopian epic with a special double-length first issue. A child with unimaginable power is raised to believe he is God by a cult of zealots, utterly confident in the moral authority of their religion. Gee, that's all right. The magnificent leader has imposed his will on humanity and created the ultimate theocracy. Join them or be cast out to suffer with the masses. Oh my God, it's Republican politics. So yeah, I'm going to read this to just poke the wound. Poke, 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 poke.
Yep, I love it.
Yeah. What about you?
For me, from Artists, Writers, and Artisans, AWA, we've got Little Black Book coming out from Jeff McComsky. This is a neo-Western crime thriller. We get this character named Cole. He's a straight arrow handyman who, alongside his pregnant wife, find himself in the crosshairs of a ruthless South Texas crime syndicate when he discovers the Little Black Book of underworld contacts that belong to his deceased father, a career criminal from whom he's been estranged for decades. Cole's father believed the best thing he could do for his son was to stay out of his life, and he might have been right, but how far does the apple fall from the tree? Because he accidentally finds this black book, and you actually, I got to read the first few pages where he accidentally finds the book, and it's like, what is this book about? You know, it just looks like fun. It just looks awesome. And I love AWA's stuff. So yes, it reads like a movie.
Oh, great.
The first bit looks like a movie. Yep. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
That is it.
All right. Anything else this week?
Not particularly, no. Nothing.
Nothing at the shop or anything coming up?
No, just new comic book day every Wednesday. Come and see us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got the new, what is it, Paldean Fates in from Este Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I got a few of those left, so you should probably get to those before they're gone.
Mm.
Yeah. But other than that, no, I got nothing.
Excellent. Well, I will remind everybody to join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/dfinmedia. This is where we need your help because it helps us pay for this show, among other things. So this week, we're going to start a new special series because I got a list. The list is the best movies of all time. 45 best movies of all time.
Oh, 45. We'll be covering this for a couple weeks.
Yep, we got this for a couple weeks. So
sweet.
We're going to cover 45 to 35, maybe even up to 30. We'll see how quickly we get through this first one, just me and Jeff. But I like this one because it makes me dust off my film school knowledge.
There you go.
And talk about it. But don't worry, it's not all art house movies that came in, because they're looking at this from more of an influential standpoint. There will be some movies on here that will surprise you, including the movie number 45. So we'll be talking about that today on Patreon. So you got to join us, patreon.com/dfinmedia. Until then, I will say, as I always do, until Wolverine gets bloody with everybody else, make mine Marvel.
For Asgard.
For Stan.